From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Tuesday, August 11th. I'm Abby Larico. Even across the expansive fields and plains of the Midwest, the skyline was once punctuated with silos. But now these structures, where farmers can store their grain for livestock, are disappearing.
I think it's important that these silos are identified, where they are and where they were, because each time I come home, there are some gone.
One woman's quest to find all the remaining silos that her grandfather built. Coming up after this news on The Gateway. Much of the St. Louis metro area is under an extreme heat warning until tomorrow night at 8 o'clock. The National Weather Service says this dangerous heat will continue to build in the region over the next few days, with heat index values above 110 degrees. Overnight temperatures aren't offering much relief. Lows are only dipping into the mid to high 70s through the middle of the week. The extreme heat warning doesn't include Rolla or Quincy, but both are under a heat advisory as well through Wednesday night. Heat index values in those communities are expected to reach 105 degrees this week. So the National Weather Service recommends, as always in heat like this, to limit time outside, check on your neighbors and friends who may be vulnerable to these extreme temperatures, and stay hydrated. Rules regarding data centers are in the works for parts of St. Louis County. The county's planning commission is preemptively drafting a framework without any development proposals to consider. But as STLPR's Kayvon Mansouri reports, residents showed up to a commission meeting last night calling for an outright ban on new data centers.
The rules would only impact unincorporated areas of the county. Cities and towns with their own zoning rules wouldn't have to follow them. The rules would carve out where data centers can and cannot be built, set standards for things like lighting and noise, and categorize them by size, energy usage, and more. As with most data center hearings in the region, the meeting came with heavy pushback from residents on any development of the controversial ventures. Matt Hutchinson lives in St. Louis County.
Ban data centers. We don't want them here. If you're not going to ban them, put a moratorium, a long moratorium, so we can get regulations that work.
The Planning Commission didn't vote at the meeting, but a hand count showed the majority of the public were not in favor of the rules. The commission could take a vote at its next meeting on September 14th. I'm Kayvon Mansouri, St. Louis Public Radio.
A former police officer with the North County Police Cooperative has admitted that he sexually assaulted 18 men who he had detained. 36-year-old Marcellus Blackwell pleaded guilty to the federal charges yesterday, about a week before he was supposed to go to trial. 16 of the victims were handcuffed while they were assaulted. 15 of them were taken to remote locations in North St. Louis County. Blackwell was also accused of turning off his body-worn camera, then lying on police reports and saying it had been activated the entire time. Blackwell will be sentenced in November. Prosecutors are asking for 30 years in prison. He's also facing state charges for one of the assaults, plus state and federal civil lawsuits. It's been 1 week since Election Day in Missouri, when voters overwhelmingly said no to Amendments 4 and 5. Missouri Governor Mike Kehoe, though, says he is undeterred by the rejection of his two major political initiatives. STLPR's Jonathan All caught up with him.
About 80% of voters said no last week to initiatives making it harder for the public to amend the Constitution and starting the process of eliminating the income tax. Speaking after an event in Rolla last night, Kehoe says he's going to continue the conversation and look for other avenues to achieve the same goals.
It is what it is. It turned out a lot worse than what we thought, but it doesn't change the mission. The mission is to get Missourians more money in their pocket so they can keep what they earn.
Kehoe attributes the losses to special interest money, even though both sides spent significantly on the election. In Rolla, I'm Jonathan All, St. Louis Public Radio.
Missouri and Illinois are part of yet another food recall, this time involving jalapenos. The Food and Drug Administration says products with jalapenos distributed by Taylor Farms could be contaminated with salmonella. Taylor Farms is the same company at the center of this summer's cyclosporiasis outbreak. In Illinois, the affected products include hot and mild pico de gallo sold at Walmart, salsa and pico de gallo sold at Whole Foods, and spicy Jarlsberg and pimento cheese dips sold at Kroger stores. In Missouri, the only affected products are the spicy Jarlsberg and pimento cheese dips sold at Kroger. This is the latest recall as part of a salmonella outbreak that has made 345 people sick in 27 states. We have a full list of affected products, including brand names, at stlpr.org. Heads up for drivers, the Illinois Department of Transportation is shutting down westbound Interstate 64 in Illinois for a little over a week for bridge repairs. STLPR's Lucretia Wimbley reports the closures start this weekend.
IDOT will fully close westbound 64 between I-255 and 18th Street in St. Clair County beginning Friday night. The Illinois 111 westbound access ramps will also remain closed during construction. Don Johnson is a spokesperson for IDOT.
There's a lot going on, and so it is highly encouraged for people to make sure that they're also refraining from using mobile devices while approaching and traveling through the work zone.
Drivers are also encouraged to slow down and pay attention to construction signage. I-64 is expected to reopen at 5 a.m. on August 24th. I'm Lucretia Wimbley, St. Louis Public Radio.
Silos have dotted the landscape around this part of the country for 150 years. But the tower-like structures on farms that hold fermented feed for livestock are threatened by development and old age. One silo hunter in Illinois has been tracking down her grandfather's silos before they disappear. The Ag and Water Desk's Jess Savage has the story.
Marianne May is driving me around the back roads of McHenry County, scanning for those round structures with a shallow point at the top that's characteristic of her grandfather's silo. Some of them have a little diamond shape on the top. His signature.
You can see the signature on that one. I mean, are you shocked that I'm showing you one every... Oh, look, there's one out there. I've already been out to that one, too. That one was a trip.
She's a self-proclaimed silo hunter, and she comes back to her hometown throughout the year to find ever more silos that her grandfather, Frank May, built on some of the oldest farms in the Midwest.
Grew up in Richmond. Always knew where a lot of my grandpa's silos were. And just sort of had them in my head, never really thought that I would do anything about it. They just were always there, a part of the landscape.
Silos probably fade into the background for most people who live in the Corn Belt, but their legacy is rooted in Illinois. Historians believe the first one in the Midwest was built in Spring Grove.
All of these magnificent, very utilitarian buildings that really speaks to this kind of rich, dynamic, very diverse agriculture that was practiced.
Bill Kemp is a historian with the McLean County Museum of History. He says silos transformed livestock agriculture. Farmers used to have to rely on dried hay to feed their animals over the winter, but it was bulky and it didn't last long. But silos are airtight containers that farmers could pack tightly with corn, allow it to ferment, and then store it for years. They used to be made of wood, but when people like Frank May started using concrete, farmers could grow their livestock herds even larger. Kemp says initially, farmers were skeptical of this new invention.
Once you would have a farmer in a particular township or in a rural neighborhood construct a silo and find how useful it was, and then that would be quickly adapted by his or her neighbors.
Marianne May says silo hunting can be a thankless task. She's been doing this for 6 years and has identified almost 200 of her grandfather's silos. She estimates there to be at least that many more.
Almost every place I go, there's something. There's some connection, whether it's somebody in my family or extended family, or maybe they worked with Frank, or, you know, there's something fun to be discovered.
She also brings me to Frank May's childhood home and pointed out the matching silo at the farmhouse across the street. That's where Marianne's grandmother grew up.
I think it's important that these silos are identified, the locations identified, where they are and where they were, because each time I come home, there are some gone.
One of our last stops was a silo she'd visited before. At the very top, she could just barely see something scratch with a fingernail into the concrete. She asked me to bring my Zoom camera lens along, and we were able to see the names of her grandfather, dad, and uncles. It was a huge moment, since so much of her research and hunting is based only on clues. It's only the second time she's found his full name written out like that. She called the landowner to tell him.
We believe it says 1940, which makes sense.
Oh, okay.
Because he may have built it 20 or 30 years before that, and then they wrote their names in there. So,
how about that?
Yeah, isn't that cool?
I'm glad that stayed, you know, and everything worked out.
It's yet another reminder that the project is never ending and that it's a gift to learn more about the family history of the area's farming community and the mark farming made on Illinois' landscape.
He's going to be talking about it. I'm going to be talking about it to my family. This is a huge deal to be able to find that and for you to identify what it actually says. It's unbelievable.
She'll be back later this summer to keep finding silos and talking to farmers. I'm Jess Savage.
That story was produced by the Mississippi River Basin Ag and Water Desk and distributed by Harvest Public Media. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri, St. Louis. Our music's by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Abby Larico, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this has been The Gateway.